Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. As the Creator and Son of God, Jesus stood in front of the Jewish people and patiently taught them eternal truths. He told them it was impossible to serve God and Lucifer at the same time. The Jews were forced to give loyalty to the Romans, but it was also necessary to pledge loyalty to the synagogue system. The people had multiple masters and were loyal to none. The problem stemmed from the fact that the soul-damaged Jews had experienced hardship for hundreds of years and no longer trusted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here today. And we're going to be speaking today on God will take care of you. God will take care of you. We have two subjects here. One is you cannot serve two masters. And the other one is do not be anxious. That we're going to be talking about. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood in the front of a crowd of several thousand of Jews in Galilee. They were fishermen, farmers, carpenters, shoemakers, laborers, government officials, Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, Herodians, along with women and children. With such a mixed crowd and education varying, the Son of God presented a message that was contrary to the custom. Galilee at this time had a dual-type government. It featured a civil government appointed by the Senate in Rome and a military occupation force that ensured the population abided by the Roman law and taxation. And Galilee was also ruled by an Idumean named Herod Antipas, who held the title of Tetrarch. His seat of power was the city of Tiberias, which was named after a Roman emperor. There were also religious ruler that operated out of synagogues. They yielded much power because any Jew that did not adhere to the official doctrine of the Talmud could be barred from the synagogue and shunned by the population. And you could not really do business. You were canceled out. So having this knowledge now, you can see that it was controversial when Jesus told the people, you cannot serve two masters, because the people in Galilee served a number of different masters. And Jesus said, now, it's either God or the devil. You cannot have both. If we look upon a disaster, keep your finger here in Matthew and turn to Genesis chapter 3. That's the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3. And this is the story of Lucifer, the serpent, Satan, and Eve. To get a background now, I have written another article, another book actually, called The as the world that was. And the restoration that we have in Genesis chapter 1, talk about 6 days, a seventh day of rest. These were not 24-hour days. According to 2 Peter, these were 1,000 years. So I wanted to give you the background of the setting here now. So Eve and Adam had been in the garden for more than 1,000 years. Because they were made on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, the Bible says God rested. And so there was 1,000 years of rest. For Adam and Eve was in the garden. And during that time, they started having children. So by the time Cain and Abel came along, there were other siblings. Matter of fact, for 1,000 years, there was a lot of people on the earth by the time Lucifer came up. So Eve now had been in the garden for 1,000 years, perfect climate, perfect food, no sickness, everything just glorious. And here comes the devil, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, the Bible says that Jesus had come down in the evening, and he had walked around with Adam and Eve, and so Eve knew Jesus. And the serpent now came up, and she did not know nothing about Satan or anything that happened before. So the serpent said in verse number 4, And you shall not surely die, for God does know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So he simply said this, Well, God has been holding back on you. You know, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like the gods or the angels. It will put you up on a higher level. At that moment, Eve had to make a choice. Should you be loyal to Jesus and say to the enemy, No, I'm not going to eat of the fruit? Or should you say, Well, I love Jesus, but I also want to have more? And in her mind, she made a decision. Adam was not around. And she said, I want to add on to what Jesus has given me. She ate of the fruit. She died spiritually. She then connived her husband to eat. And he died spiritually. And now they realized that was not a good decision. Because that night Jesus came to the garden. And they had hidden themselves. And Jesus said, Where are you, Adam? And Adam said, I'm afraid. And then Jesus simply realized that he knew what they had done, but he told them. So, what did Jesus do? I want you to think with me now deeply. Jesus didn't say, Eve, I'm sorry. I did not tell you about Lucifer. I should have done that. I didn't tell you about the space war, the trial, and how much damage he's done. If I would have told you that, you know, you wouldn't have eaten of that fruit. No, he didn't say that. Because Jesus wants you to obey, not necessarily knowing all the reasons why you should obey. So she got cursed. All the women got cursed after that. He called in Adam. He got him cursed. He cursed him. And after that, He told the angels, kick them out of the garden. They got evicted. And after being 1,000 years plus in a most beautiful place, having no problem to work or sweat or anything like this, they got kicked out. And Adam and Eve learned, you cannot serve two masters. So, we need to understand now that each one of us will be tempted every day. Every day. You might have been saved for 30 years, 40 years, and Lucifer is never giving up. He's going to hound you to the day that you leave your body and take a flight to heaven. So let's go back to the outline now. Put yourself in the shoes of the people listening to Jesus. They were forced to give loyalty to the Romans, and they passionately hated them. And Herod Antipas, who collected huge taxes and only passed some of it off to Rome. And in order to function in the Jewish society, it was necessary to pledge loyalty to the priest or be ejected from the synagogues. The people had several masters, and they were loyal to none. They had a number of masters, loyal to none. Keep your Bible open here in Matthew 6, and let's turn out to Luke chapter 9. It's the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to turn to chapter 9. And we're going to pick it up in verse, that's Luke 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 57 to 62. And he said to another, follow me. That was Jesus. And Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The father was not dead yet. He was just waiting. The custom was in those days that the oldest son would stay around home until the father and mother was gone. It could be years. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So remember this now. You cannot serve two masters. Can God forgive you if you have done bad things? Yes, God can forgive you. You still haven't got the mark of the beast. And as long as you do not change the Bible text, you can be forgiven. So, how do we serve one master? You simply devote yourself to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You do not give credence or you don't get attached to anyone else. God is your focus. Jesus is your Lord. And whatever you do in life, you do it unto them. And you don't go to the place that Lucifer sets up. Gambling places, bars, whatever it is that he tempts you with. You simply say, no, I'm not going there. I'm staying with Jesus. Let's look about our next subject now. Do not be anxious. And so let me just read here, work a little bit out of the what we had, a little outline here. Now, when Jesus was talking to the people in Galilee, the economy had started to improve, but fragile and dependent upon the political infighting of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodias, and foreign nations, not leading to a devastating war that would crash the economy. The Son of God is incarnated, and how the Creator of humanity walks among men. The long-awaited Messiah tried to bring the soul-damaged Jews to faith that God would look after them and meet their needs. Remember now, they had for 400 years, there had been wars, civil wars, lots of killing, and they simply were devastated. They had soul damage. So let me read it to you now, what Jesus said here now. And we pick it up here now in verse number, go down here, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, than the body, than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Jesus now is speaking to these people. They have been devastated, crushed. They are oppressed. They are occupied by the Romans. And now Jesus says, I will take care of you. Picture that now. They're standing in front of him, sitting in front of him, hearing these words. And they said, how can he promise that? Jesus now, being the Creator, being God, has knowledge what he can do. He has knowledge about angels. The people did not know that. They could not see into the spirit world. They did not understand the spirit world. Just like today, people don't understand the spirit world. But Jesus said, I will take care of you. The question then comes, and I'm back here on page number 2. Did God take care of the Jews who accepted Jesus as their Messiah? And the question to that, the answer to that question is found in the book of Acts. Because Paul was a tent maker by trade, but he also lived by love offerings. Paul existed mostly of love offerings given to him by the churches that he founded. Did Paul become rich? No. But he always had food, clothing, and money for transportation. Here's the problem. We want extra. We want more than we need for security. We simply says, that's fine, God, but you know, I'd like to build my bank account up. I might have this paid off, and I might have these different things. And God is simply saying this through Jesus. Trust me. Come as you are. And don't fret. Can we have the AC turned on? Now, sometimes he was transferred as a prisoner on a ship, but regardless of the circumstances, Paul was always cared for by Jesus, and it was time for him to go home. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Did the AC break? Okay. Well, Satan, you can laugh now. We're going to laugh when you get dumped into the lake of fire. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 21, we read this. I speak as concerning reproach, and though we have been weak, howbeit whensoever I am bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers in Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more in abundant. In stripes by measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received at 40 stripes, say one. 3 times was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck, and night to the day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must need glory, I will glory of the thing which concerns my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knows that I lie not. In Damascus, the government under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desires to apprehend me. And through a window in the basket was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul is simply saying this, I went through a lot of different things, but he still stood. There were times he might have been hungry, but eventually he got food. And God kept him going until the day that he had finished his task on this earth. So what God is telling you and me is this. Regardless, we get the fear news every day. The dollar is going to collapse. The banks are closing. The Antichrist is coming. The FEMA camps are opening up. The Chinese are coming. The Russians are coming. These people are coming. Everything is falling apart. They're going to arrest you and shoot you tomorrow. You hear bad news every day. Here's what you can do. No one can touch you until Jesus said, you are done. He will take you home. Jesus said, don't sweat people that can hurt your body, but fear him that can put both body and soul into hell. So, we need to become fearless, because you can't function under fear. I have a story here about Corrie ten Boom in my outline here. And then it just came to me when I was writing this. And Corrie ten Boom was born in Holland in 1892. Her parents were Christians. And they lived a nice life in Holland. He was a watchmaker. They had good income and so on. So they were, what do you call it, middle income people, middle class people. And so life was good until World War II affected them. 1939, the Germans came in and occupied Holland. And as always, about 10% of the population simply said to the Germans, Jawohl! We will do whatever you want. They were collaborators, police, judges, and so on. So they collaborated. Here now, one day, there was a knock on the door, and there was some Jewish people that simply said, can you help us? Corrie ten Boom and her family now had to make a decision. Do I help these Jews? Because if I do, there's a death sentence to me. We would get arrested and we'd be sent to camps in Germany. So the family decided, as a family, we're going to obey God. We're going to trust God. They took them in. They remodeled the house. They got secret chambers. And for the next 2-3 years, everything went fine. Until you always have a Judas Iscariot. So a Dutchman who had knowledge of them went to the German authorities and said, the Ten Boom family are hiding Jews. And the Gestapo was simply notified, go and raid that house. Somehow, they found, they arrested them, but they couldn't find the Jews they had. They had hidden them so well in the house. And as they were taken to the police station, and of course they were threatening, you know, where are the Jews? You know, we're going to beat you. We're going to kill you. We're going to do this and that. And you simply said nothing. So friends of theirs were able to extract the Jews that were hiding, and none of them was lost. The dad died in jail after about 10 days or so. Corey and his sister were sent to a camp in Germany. That was not a nice place, infested with lice and other bad things. Now, when they got there, they could have simply said, you know, all right, God, that's what we get. We try to help people out. This is what we get. But they simply said this. God is with us in the camp like he's with us before. They had little things, like they had birds outside. They had some ants come on the floor and so on. But they got enough food and they simply started to a Bible study. They started a Bible study for these women in this camp. These were Dutch women. And they led a number of them to Christ. And then one day, Betsy died. And 10 days later, Corey was released. And she found out later that there was a clerk error. They had not planned to release her. But God sent an angel in, messed up the records. They released her. She went back to Holland. And immediately after she got out of that camp, they closed it down. They took all the women to another death camp in Germany, gassed them and burned their bodies. They had been prepared. Most of them had got saved because of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy. She came back to Holland now. The war was still going on, the last half year left of it. And, of course, their business was gone and so on. But God supplied them with food. And they got back into their old house. She got back in the old house. And now, instead of sitting and feeling sorry for herself, she started taking in people that were less fortunate. And she started helping them. The war ended. And Corey now, probably about in the late 50s, decided to open up receiving centers for Dutch people that had collaborated with the Germans. There was a lot of people being killed in Europe, in the different countries, when scores were settled after the war. But she had a compassion on these people. Then eventually she became an evangelist and started preaching. And this is how she made a living. Maybe 10, 15 years later, she was in a meeting in Germany. And she gave the speech, she gave her preacher's sermon, gave the invitation. And a German man came up, and she recognized him as the worst guard that they had in Ravensburg. This guy was a mean man. He came up and said, "Corey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." She thought about Betsy that got killed. She thought about all the others. And for a few seconds, she just stood there. And then she said, "I will forgive you." And she forgave him. She continued. Eventually, she moved to California. She lived there for a number of years. They made a movie about her. And it was called The Hiding Place, which we saw back in the 70s. It's a very moving movie story. But what I want to tell you here about by using Cora Ten Boom, she started out as a middle-class person, ended up in a German concentration camp, was released by mistake, but was released by the power of God. And she served the rest of her life out. She never had a need. She always got what she needed. She was never rich, but she had clothing, food, shelter, and she lived a good, constructive life. Now, on the last page here on the outline, it says, don't be anxious. God doesn't want you to stress out. You might say, but that's easy for you to say. You just, life is a piece of cake. No, my life has not always been a piece of a cake. And there are difficulties. But I can say this. I always had food. We always had shelter. I always had a car. I always had gas to put to the car. I have never been without. I served the Lord for 56 years full time. Now, when God called me full time, after I finished seminary, and I got out, I had a job, an engineering job. The day I graduated, the day I was fired from my job, I finished the graduation, jumped in my car, drove back to the office. I'm going to put in some more work. The boss met me and said, "This office is shutting down. They got a moratorium on buildings. I'm out of business. We're closing." I said, "But I had thought I would work 2 or 3 weeks before I go on my first crusade meetings." And God said, "No. You're not working anymore. You're full time." He made it clear to me, you can never hold a job outside the ministry. And that's how it's been for 50 some odd years. And I tried to circumvent that. But we were in Lodi, and I felt we were a little bit too tight. And I told Ina, I said, "You know, I would like for you to go to work and get a little bit more money in." So she went to work in a store in Stockton. And she'd work there maybe 3 or 4 days. And the manager came up to her and said, "What's your husband's occupation?" She said, "He's a pastor." "What are you doing here? You don't belong here. Go back home. You're a pastor's wife. You're full time." She got fired. So she came home. And I said, "Okay, I will not try that again." You see, you can't, if God told you to do something, you can't have somebody else do it for you. You do what he told you. Now, if some of you says, well, how do we know about your life? Listen, buddy, I wrote a book, My Life, My Calling, My Destiny. It's a thick book. You can find it on our website. It's a story of 80 years of my life. I wrote the good and I wrote the bad. I wrote it all. And you read that book and you can simply say this, wow, God did take care of him and his wife. Incredible. Unbelievable. I want to shoot this in. I said this before, but I want to shoot it again. We did not carry hospital insurance because there was not enough money in the ministry, so we didn't do it. And God kept us healthy. We didn't need it. So, when Ina got ill, she got dementia, Alzheimer's, and she came to the place where she had to be cared for 24/7. That's expensive. Now, I had a choice. I could find the cheapest home they have, where they have about 100 patients and two workers. And it's just a death camp. I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I don't know where to put her. A woman at the hospital, it was a coordinator, said, I have a place for Ina. I said, I trust you. So they took her there. It was a nice place. Five patients, houses about maybe 5 years old, beautiful people working there. The problem was $5,000 a month. So she was there. The lady came out and talked to me after and said, now you got to come back here tomorrow with $5,000. I said, okay. So I now did what normally people do when you walk in the flesh. I had credit. I went to the bank. I borrowed $5,000. I went by and paid that. But God had a plan. For more than 3 years, Ina was in that care home. And God moved upon a person in Texas. He moved upon people that are part of the network that we have. And for 3.5 years, like clockwork, they raised the price to $5,300 later. Every month, I had the money in my hand before I had to pay it. I was always on time, paid in full. And I look back now and says, wow, God, you really took care of me. You took care of Ina. So I'm not talking to you out of theory, saying, you know, well, I read this in the Bible, and I heard this guy over here and this and there. I have lived it. So let's do this now. Let's go back here to Matthew chapter 6. And let's pick it up here now. What I want to build some faith in you here now. Verse 25. Therefore, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father knows, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? That does not mean that you don't work. It doesn't mean that you don't apply yourself. But you simply say this, God has me running this business, God has me doing this job, whatever it is, whatever God placed you, simply say, thank you, Lord. I'm here. I'll do my part. You cannot be sloppy. You got to work. You got to be diligent. You got to use your intelligence. You do your part, and God will do the rest. guaranteed. He has a protection plan. Once you get saved, you are in his protection plan. This is not Social Security. This is not a health program where you have insurance with some company. This is a protection plan backed by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have riches untold. You can't even tell. They can create more and more and more. They have no limitations. They have no debt limits to raise. They have cash on hand. They have everything they need. And Jesus stood there in front of these Galileans and said, get into my protection plan. It works. I will take care of you. It is wonderful. Now, do you think that the devil talked to me during the 3.5 years I and I was in the carrier? Not 3.5, but 3 years plus a month. Of course he did. He would come in and somebody says, you know, this guy in Texas might die. He might have a car accident. He did get sick, but that was afterwards. You know, the people that are sending money in, they would get tired of you. I mean, it's one thing to send money for about 6 months, you know, but 3 years? I got people in Austria, I got people in Sweden, I got people in the United States, and each one sending a little money every month. And Satan said, you know, they could just get angry with you. They just drop out. Satan will bother you. He will always come in and say, this might not work. And you've got to develop a faith in saying that, get out of here, devil. I'm sick and tired of you. I liar. God's protection plan will work. You have to apply yourself. You cannot sit in the corner and say, okay, all right, God, send in the birds. Send in the ravens. I want bread. I want fish. I want this and that. And by the way, God, open my mouth. I don't want to chew the food. I want it to be pre-chewed. I just want to sit there, like this. It doesn't work like that. You do your part. And God does his part. Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? Another thing the devil told me was this. John, you might die before Ina does. Who's going to care for her? She can't even talk anymore. I mean, I got bombarded from all sides. And I simply said, no, I'm not going to die. I had prayed years ago. I said, God, I know that we are married. I know that we eventually going to die. But God, I got a request for you. I said, I want to be the last guy standing because I can take care of Ina. She is not able to take care of herself if I'm gone. You know what? Jesus said, okay, John, I'll take it first. He did. I'm here. I'm glad that I was in God's protection plan. Oh, why do you take thought for raiment or clothing? Consider lilies of the field, are they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you a little faith? Have we got naked over the years? No. We had winter clothing, we had summer clothing, we had for spring clothing and fall clothing. We had shoes, we had everything that needed to be. For many years. Therefore, take no thought saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now here is a clincher. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We sing that song, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We like that. But do we really believe it? He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, get my biography that I wrote and read that. And they will tell you that for 80 years, and I'm still going on, so I'm still in the protection plan, God did take care of all our needs. Financially, car-wise, food-wise, housing, clothing, everything. It came in. For years, people made fun of me in the church when we were in Carmichael. They said, John, why do you always have these widows that give you money? I says, well, I didn't ask for them to come. But I had widows that simply would come to me and said, John, I want to give you this. I want to give you that. I didn't go to them and simply says, okay, you got some money. I need some stuff. Can you give it to me? I never did ask. And they were simply saying, the reason the church is standing in Carmichael is because you got these widows that are propping you up. Right? God used them. God blessed these widows. They're in heaven now. So God will use sources that you don't even think could be a source. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here's what I feel. I started out excited today about different things, so when I kind of calmed down a little bit and was able to present my message. But I would say this, that probably a number of you simply says, I don't believe that. Oh, God doesn't see me. It might work for John, but it's not going to work for me. I can just see people right now simply saying, well, yeah, it's going to be a rough time. We might be on the street. We might be this. We might be that. It's sad. It says in the Bible, I'm not going to give the quote right now, that Jesus was speaking. It's in the Gospel of John. And he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh. And the people in Galilee that loved him got free health care, free food. Everything was given to them. They looked on Jesus and said, that's too hard. And he says, the majority of them, probably 98%, walked away from Jesus. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And they said, who shall we go to? You are the life. We're going to stay. How can you preach? How can you convince people that it's true? I can't. If the Holy Spirit has not been working on you today, every word I have spoken has gone over your head. But if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you today, there's a fire burning in you. And you says, I'm saved. God loves me. This will apply to me. I'm going to be starting praising God. Instead of complaining, I'm going to start praising God and thanking him that he would take care of all my needs. And I don't have to worry. The Antichrist is coming. We do know when that happens, we're going to be kicked out. We're not going to be able to buy or sell. We're not going to be able to drive our cars or be in our houses. We're going to be homeless. I know that. That's a fact. Am I sweating it? No. I know this. God will take care of us until he takes us home. If you have this attitude, there's no fear. Your blood pressure is going to be nice and even and low. And your body is going to feel great. But if you always came, well, is this going to happen? This could happen, oh, blah, 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 blah. Your blood pressure is going like this. And the demons say, keep on going. And Jesus said, oh, man. When will they get this stuff? When will they understand? So, closing. If you says, well, I can't believe this. I have a hard time to believe it. This is the prayer you should ask today. Jesus, help my unbelief. That's what a man said that brought his son to Jesus. That was demon possessed. And Jesus said, I can heal him. And the man said, you know, can you heal him? And then the man said, Jesus, help my unbelief. Take it out. That's a good prayer today for you that are saved. Help my unbelief. Oh, God. Help me not to look upon the circumstances, but begin to look upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. If you are not saved and you're listening today, and all of us have been people are not saved, and you simply feel, that's good stuff. How do I get in? All you need to do is to say, God, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died at the cross, rose on the third day. He paid for my sins on the cross. Jesus, come on into my life. Come on in and save me. Forgive me for everything I've done. And he will. When we finish here, after the last prayer, the screen will change on your computer or your television. You will see his three crosses coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles simply saying this, my friend, he will take about 10 minutes and make sure that you get saved today. Get into God's protection plan today. Simply said, I'm sick and tired of being outside. I want to get in. And when you pray that prayer and you get saved, would you contact us? I'd like to know. I'd like to rejoice with you. I'd like to pray with you over the phone or whatever. Please contact us. And to those of you that are watching, like I said, some of you are way up here. Some of you down here. Then I got people all the way between. To those of you that are in the top 10, pray for the guys that are down here. Give them faith. And if you are struggling, simply say, God, help my unbelief. Holy Spirit, minister to me. And he will. Take the sermon outline. Read it again this afternoon. Have some nice prayer time for yourself. And begin to say, God, thank you for your protection plan. I believe it. I'm going to live in it. And I'm going to cash it. In Jesus' name, here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word. And actually, that Matthew 6, 33 and 34 are my favorite scriptures, some of them. And I'm living proof of that blessing. I especially like the very end of verse 34 where it says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I had to come to terms with that many years ago. So there's going to be enough evil to go around every day. And I'm not letting it get to me. I rebuke it, but I don't let it get me down. So thank you for the Word of God. Let it be true and every man a liar. Let the Word of God be kept in, let it be kept and not changed. And let it be hid in the hearts and souls of men. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the testimony of Corrie Ten Boom, who was not intimidated, but she kept on pushing forward. So thank you for your blessing upon each and every person that took the time to tune in, to separate out some time in their day, to honor God, to learn from the Word, and to be hearers, and to be doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 18th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, God Will Take Care of You. As the Creator and the Son of God, Jesus stood in front of the Jewish people and patiently taught them eternal truths. He said it was impossible to serve God and Lucifer at the same time. The Jews were forced to give loyalty to the Romans, but it was also necessary to pledge loyalty to the synagogue system. They had multiple masters and were loyal to none. The God-men told them to choose one. The problem is that while the soul-damaged Jews prayed to the Lord, they didn't trust the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus showed supernatural power through the miracles He performed and said that God would look after them and meet their needs if they repented. The God-man was not only speaking to that generation in Galilee, but to future generations who would be born again. God the Father has a plan for your life, and when you join His team at the moment of salvation, you are enrolled in the greatest insurance program in the universe. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1912. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.